Thank you, Greg and team. Good morning, everybody. Glad to see you today, and welcome to our first service here at the First Colony Church of Christ. In our teaching time today, I'm continuing with a message series that we're calling Here and Now, as we take a look at some of the rather extreme statements from Jesus and their application. Because if Jesus was anything, he was a realist. He did not talk about things as if they only happened in fairy tales, and he didn't talk about fairy tales. If he was anything, he was a realist, but he was also a very picturesque teacher. And he used, he was a master at hyperbole, and as he used picturesque illustrations, he arrested the attention of his hearers. He arrests our attention. And he calls us to some self-evaluation, and he sort of wakes up and perks up our ears from time to time. He would say things, for example, like, before you give attention to trying to find the speck of sawdust in someone else's eye, pay very close attention, perhaps, to the large plank that's in your own. Well, that's a very picturesque thinking. And when he wanted to talk to us about the extent of God's care for us, when he wanted to talk to us about the extent of God's love and how much he loves you and how much he cares for you, he said, well, it's like God is hovering over you and has counted the very hairs on your head. He knows how many are there. He knows if one is missing. That's the extent of his care. That's the extent of his compassion. Well, last week we saw where Jesus calls us not to self-mutilation, but to Holy Spirit-empowered self-discipline. He said, if you need to cut off a hand or a foot or gouge out an eye, do that. Today, we're going to hear another of his teachings that will, I think, arrest your attention and perk up your ears and hopefully really awaken your faith. Okay, reading from Matthew chapter 17. I tell you the truth, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Okay. Luke 17, similar words. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, you know, on one hand a mountain, now to a mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. Okay. Next one from Mark chapter 11. Have faith in God, Jesus answered. I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Okay. What's the essential meaning behind all of this? What's the essential meaning behind the exaggeration and deliberate overstatement from Jesus? I believe it's as follows. Let me put it up here on the screen. Never underestimate the power of God. Just never. Because our God is a mountain-moving God, and whatever the obstacle is, God can handle it. God can move mountains. God can handle difficulties that you cannot. And through faith and prayer, you can tap into God's resources. That's not to say that every time you ask, you get exactly what you want. But rather than being debilitated by a sense of anxiety and worst-case scenario thinking, why don't you lean into best-case scenario thinking? Why don't you lean into some hope? Why don't you lean into some faith? And why don't you just have a picture of a mountain? By the way, that's the Matterhorn. Have a picture of some obstacle that God can take and do for you and maybe do through you something that you could not in your own energy and with your best intentions. and with your best thinking, do on your own. In essence, Jesus says, look, you're marching off into an uncertain future, and there's going to be some trouble along the way. There's going to be some difficulty and pain come into your life. And when it happens, I'm asking you not to get dark, not to get brooding and despairing and hopeless about it. I want you to remember that your God is an awesome God, and He can do supernatural things. You can pray. You are invited to ask. And sometimes God will respond, and He will amaze you and surprise you and break through into your life. Never underestimate the power of God. With humans, there are limits. I mean, quick, think of all the things you can't do. I have one limitation after another. But with God, all things are possible. I mean, that's fundamentally the story of Christianity, isn't it? That God has always been capable. He's capable now, and He'll be capable in the future. The Bible begins with this little phrase, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth," a miracle. You come to the New Testament, and there's a star over a stable, and a Savior is born who can deal with your life and mine, rescue your eternity and mine. With God, all things are possible. Never underestimate the power of God. And I have an idea. If we were to do a true false thing in the audience this morning, quick, how many of you believe that with God, all things are possible? Most every hand would go up. But here's what I really want to drive home for you. Never underestimate the power of God in your life. Are you willing to pray some risky prayers? Are you willing to step out there and take some bold faith moves on your own? You may be in a marriage right now that's just stuck. And right now you're leaning into hopelessness. You know, we've got a wonderful marriage seminar coming up in about a month. It'll be taught by Joe Beam right here on Saturday, October the 24th. You can say, I've done seminars, I've done classes. Well, how about leaning into some hope? How about praying again? How about taking a step of faith? How about deciding you're going to come to that seminar? And who knows? Who knows? God may break through and do something. Are you willing to not underestimate the power of God in your life? And are you willing to pray some bold prayers and take some risky moves? Well, if so, that separates the men from the boys. That separates the tire kickers from the buyers. In the Old Testament, there's something that happened that I want to use an attitude from King David to drive something home. You remember in the Older Testament how that David was very much aware that God had pronounced judgment on him and on Bathsheba and on their child. You know, they had a child that was born, and because of David's adultery and treachery and murder, God had issued judgment and had told David that this child would die. And although David was capable of great sin, he was also a man after God's own heart, and he was a man of faith, and he'd walked with God a lot. And David, rather than leaning into despair and hopelessness, he leans into faith. And he leans into a spirit that says, maybe God will change his mind in this situation. Maybe God will be gracious. Maybe God will bring his power to bear in this scenario. And here's the attitude of David in 2 Samuel 22. Let's put it up here on the screen, please, this statement. Who knows? The Lord may be gracious to me and let the child live. Who knows? God just might do a miracle here. And so I'm going to lean into hope. I'm going to lean into faith. I'm going to lean into the possibility that God's power may be brought to bear here. And here's what I'm going to ask you, First Colony. Here's what I'm going to ask you. I'm going to ask you to do the same thing. I'm going to ask you to orient your mind toward a best case scenario. Why don't you start using the very words that David used? Who knows? But God just might show up and do something incredibly gracious and amazing. Let's ask. Let's find out. This I know, if I do not ask, I will not receive. So let's lean into faith and do not default into worst case thinking, but that's my reflex. For all of us, my natural reflex is worst case scenario thinking. But what if you ask God to show up big time and move a mountain? And every time I do that, every time I crucify my natural reflex and step out there in faith through a bold prayer or through taking a step of faith and anticipating the activity of God to show up and meet me, I step back and I say afterwards, this is how I want to live. This is how I want to manifest my life. Now, in David's story, I need to remind you that God did not intervene on David's request the way he asked. David did not get the answer that he specifically requested. But if you could go back and ask David, if you had it to do all over again, would you take the same approach? I think the answer is absolutely yes. Otherwise, here's what's going to happen. What's the alternative to a life of faith? It's darkness, it's despair, it's hopelessness, and it's fatalism. And I've just decided, I don't want to live another day like that. I don't want to live one more day paralyzed by worst-case scenario thinking. I don't want to live one more day like that. I don't want to live one more day thinking that God has lost his edge, that God has lost his stuff, and that God can't show up and do something incredible in response to this prayer of faith. I don't want to spend another day like that. And even if God chooses not to step in and answer my request the way I'm asking, still, it's a better way to live. And when you face big decisions, who knows? But that God may not show up and lead you through the maze in an astounding way. Never underestimate the power of God. And when you're faced with personal areas of growth and you wonder, will my heart ever change? Will I ever be able to deal with this? Who knows? God may show up and give you a new heart and a refreshed spirit. Never underestimate the power of God. And when you're faced with personal disappointments and discouragements, and when you're faced with seasons where you just want to bail, you want to bail on the job or bail on the marriage or bail on the assignment or bail on using your spiritual gifts, who knows? God may show up and relieve the pressure and give you a dose of hope just around the corner. Never underestimate the power of God in your life. And when you've been sharing your faith with someone, maybe that person's not a Christian yet, maybe that person is somebody who is a believer, but they're just in a black hole. And you've been sharing your faith and trying to exhort that person along, and you feel like their heart is just hard. Their heart is just stubborn. Who knows? But that God may not have a breakthrough and soften that stubborn, resistant heart. Never underestimate the power of God in your life. So keep leaning into faith. Don't default to worst-case scenario thinking. Don't default to the hopeless side of things, because once you do, you start hitting that spiral down, down, down. I want to close today and look at this passage of Scripture from the book of James. James chapter 5. And it's about a man who's just like us. Elijah. Elijah was a man just like us. That point is underscored. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again, he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. Elijah's story is interesting. Elijah was a prophet. He's dealing with some stubborn, resistant people, and he's dealing with some pretty evil kings, and they're going from bad to worse, from bad to worse. And he's wondering, how in the world can I get their attention? They won't listen. The people won't listen. The kings won't listen. God, what can we do to get their hearts soft so they will bend their knees to you again? Maybe if some natural calamity came, maybe that would soften them up. How about a famine? How about a drought? But how do you do a drought? Well, if God is God, and if I ask for the right reasons, might God superintend himself over the high-pressure systems and the low-pressure systems and sort of clock them around in such a way so that it will not rain over a particular part of the land? I'm going to ask. And I'm going to ask for the express purpose that the people's hearts would be softened and they would turn back to God. And so Elijah prays. And for 3.5, I mean, can you imagine a prayer like that? Dear God, close up heaven. Just close it up. And he did. And for 3.5 years, it didn't rain, and there's a drought, and there's a famine, and the people's hearts are softened, and they realize, whoa, life is more than my little deal, and there are things beyond my control, and all, the only true God is the one God, and they turn their hearts back to him. And now what does Elijah do? And now Elijah prays again. God, would you just maybe bring a low pressure system over the area, and you can be in charge, and would you refresh the land? And it happens. And now they got rain. And it was such a dramatic episode that the truth of this was passed on from generation to generation, from father to son, from mother to daughter, until in the New Testament, James is writing and he says, Elijah was a man just like us, but he did not underestimate the power of God. And I'm going to ask you to do the same thing. And so he says in James 5:16, the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and it is effective. And so where are you today? There's probably somebody in this room who's been pretty close to stepping out there and trusting Christ, becoming a Christian. I mean, stepping across the line, being baptized, ready to walk with the Lord. But you've talked yourself out of it through worst case scenario thinking. Well, if I do that, I'm going to put on some spiritual straitjacket and there goes the fun and da-da-da-da-da. Who knows but that you will not experience really one of the most fulfilling seasons of your life, because God always rewards faith. And I'm talking to some closet believers out there. I mean, yeah, you wear the label, but you're holding back. And as God nudges you into greater areas of love and service, you just resist. But who knows, when you let it go and step out there in faith and begin to pray some risky prayers and begin again to walk with the Lord with great enthusiasm, who knows, but that you will not experience one of the most exciting and rewarding seasons of your life, because God always rewards faith. Our God is an awesome God, and if he is for you, no one can be against you. And I'm asking you to develop that mentality, that's an expectation mentality, and it will revolutionize your life. When you lean into faith, when you lean into a best case scenario possibility, you give birth to an expectation mentality. You can do all things through Christ, who will give you the strength. You can be set free. You can smile again. You can recover from that difficulty. You can deal with that assignment. You can go through the valley of the shadow. Never put a ceiling on what God can do. Never talk yourself out of a bold prayer. Never tell God what His boundaries are. Live with an expectation mentality, believing that nothing is impossible for those who believe, because Jesus says, you see that mountain? God moves things like that. And whatever that obstacle may be, whatever that assignment is that is beyond your energy and wisdom, it's not beyond the wisdom and the energy of God. He redefines what's possible. Never underestimate the power of God, and never underestimate the power of God in your life. Okay, let's stand. We're going to pray. We're going to sing. And then we're going to walk by faith. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you that you want us to, you want to take us to another level of faith and trust in you. And Lord, we need your help to do that. Heavenly Father, would you help us today if there's somebody here who's not yet a believer, but they've talked themselves out of taking steps of faith through worst case scenario thinking. Lord, you reward faith for believers who are holding back. Help them step across the line in greater ways. Lord, I pray for those Christians today who may need to come back home to you, to come back to the place where they belong. Lord, you honor faith, you reward our faith, and I'm praying the very prayer that your disciples prayed. Oh God, increase our faith. In a God for whom nothing is impossible. Thank you for caring for us. Show us your glory afresh. This we pray in Christ's name.